Chapter 1
I'm going to kill Michael's mother, I announced. Quickly, discreetly, and with a minimum of pain and suffering out of consideration for Michael. But I am going to kill her.
What was that? Eileen said, looking up and blinking at me.
I glanced over at my best friend and fellow craftswoman. She had already unpacked about an acre of blue and white porcelain and arranged it on her side of our booth. I still had several tons of wrought iron to wrestle into place. I scratched two or three places where my authentic colonial-style linsey-woolsey dress was giving me contact dermatitis. I rolled my ruffled sleeves higher up on my arms, even though I knew they'd flop down again in 2 minutes. Then I hiked my skirts up a foot or so, hoping a stray breeze would cool off my legs. I said I'm going to kill Michael's mother for making us do this craft fair in 18th-century costume, I said. It's absolutely crazy in 90-degree weather.
Well, it's not entirely Mrs. Waterston's fault, Eileen said. Who knew we'd be having weather like this in October?
I couldn't think of a reasonable answer, so I turned back to the case I was unpacking and lifted out a pair of wrought iron candlesticks. Eileen, like me, was flushed from the heat and exertion, not to mention frizzy from the humidity, but with her blonde hair and fair skin, it gave the effect of glowing health. I felt like a disheveled mess.
This would be so much easier in jeans, I grumbled, tripping over the hem of my skirt as I walked over to the table to set the candlesticks down.
People are already showing up, Eileen said with a shrug. You know what a stickler Mrs. Waterston is for authenticity.
Yes, everyone in Yorktown had long ago figured that out, and Martha Stewart had nothing on Mrs. Waterston for attention to detail. If she'd had her way, we'd have made every single stitch we wore by hand, by candlelight. She'd probably have tried to make us spin the thread and weave the fabric ourselves, not to mention raising and shearing the sheep. And when she finally pushed enough of us over the edge, we'd have to make sure our lynch mob used an authentic colonial-style hemp rope instead of an anachronistic nylon one. Of course, my fellow craftspeople would probably lynch me too while they were at it, since I was her deputy in charge of organizing the craft fair. And in Mrs. Waterston's eyes, keeping all the participants anachronism-free was my responsibility. When I'd volunteered for the job, I'd thought it a wonderful way to make a good impression on the hypercritical mother of the man I loved. I'd spent the past 6 months trying not to make Michael an orphan. Speaking of Michael.
Where's Michael anyway?
Eileen asked, echoing my thoughts.
I thought he was going to help you with that.
He will, when he gets here, I said. He's still getting into costume.
He's going to look so wonderful in colonial dress, Eileen said.
Yes, I said. Lucky we don't have a full-length mirror in the tent, or we wouldn't see him for hours.
You know you don't mean that, Eileen said with a frown. You're crazy about Michael.
I let that pass. Yes, I was crazy about Michael. But I was a grown woman in my 30s. Not a starry-eyed teenager in the throes of her first crush. And Michael and I had been together a little over a year, long enough for me to fully appreciate his many good points, but also long enough to notice a few shortcomings. The thing about costumes and mirrors, for example, and the fact that getting dressed to go anywhere took him 2 or 3 times as long as it took me. Not that I complained, usually. The results were always spectacular. But at the moment, I'd have traded spectacular for available to help. I wrestled an 8-foot trellis into position and sat back, panting.
Maybe I will wait until he gets here to finish this, I said.
But Mrs. Waterston wants us all set up by 10, Eileen said.
She rummaged in the wicker basket she was using instead of a purse, then shot a guilty glance back at me before pulling out her wristwatch.
It's 9:30 already, she said,
thrusting the watch back out of sight beneath the red and white checked fabric lining the basket. Familiar gestures already. The furtive glance to see if anyone who cared, like me, theoretically, was looking before someone pulled out a necessary but forbidden...